Good evening. Okay. Let us get started. We are moving right along in our journey through the Siddur. We're at the second bracha before Kriyat Shema. The second bracha before Kriyat Shema. The Mishnah, or the Gemara asks, I'm sorry, what is the second bracha? And Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar answer, you know what the second bracha is? Ahava Rabba. Which seems to make sense because that's what we say every morning, Ahava Rabba. However, the Rabbanan argue, and the Rabbanan say, no, the bracha is not Ahava Rabba, the bracha is Ahavas Olam. So what are the sources for this? So the Rashi explains that Ahavas Olam comes from the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Ahavas Olam Ahavtich. That there's an idea that Ahavas Olam, that there's a precedent for using the word Ahavas Olam connected to a pasuk in Tanakh. What about Ahava Rabba? Ahava Rabba, there actually is no source in the Chumash, or in Tanakh, that says Ahava Rabba. So where exactly does it come from? The Prisha is a commentary on the Tur. He suggests that it comes from the pasuk in Eicha, Chadashim LaBekarim, meaning the morning, Boker, Rabba Emunasecha. Your Emuna is great, it's Rabba, so Boker and Rabba. So therefore, it makes sense to say Ahava Rabba. So the question is, that's the source for Ahava Rabba. Now, what's the difference practically between saying Ahavas Olam and Ahava Rabba? So the Maharal tries to explain that at Shacharis, it's Ahava Rabba. We focus on the greatness of his love. His love is so great in this world, Ahava Rabba, Ahavtanu. However, Ahavas Olam, Ahavtanu, is talking not simply about in this world, but it's an eternal love, this Ahava Nitzchias. So how do we paskin? Do we say Ahava Rabba or Ahavas Olam? Well, we sort of know, in our Siddur at least, but the truth is, the Rif says that the appropriate Nusach in the opening of this bracha is Ahavas Olam, and that in fact is the Sephardic approach. They begin this bracha with the words Ahavas Olam, based on the Shita of the Rabbanan. However, the Tur quotes the Gaonim, and the Gaonim comes up with a compromise, which is our practice, and the compromise is, in the morning at Shacharis, we're going to say Ahava Rabba, and at Maariv, we're going to say Ahavas Olam. So now you understand the difference between the second tefillah at Maariv versus Shacharis, Ahava Rabba versus Ahavas Olam. The question is, why Ahava Rabba in the morning and Ahavas Olam at night? Switch it, have Ahavas Olam in the morning and Ahava Rabba at night. So this comes into the Prisha's interpretation, Chadashim LaBekarim Rabba Emunasecha, that Boker and Rabba go hand in hand, so therefore Ahava Rabba fits in better with the morning time, Ahavas Olam, which is Nitzchias, that can even take place at night as well. It's forever, it's unending and unchanging. There is an interesting idea quoted by the Shaarei Tshuva. The Piskei Tshuvas says that it's not so clear whether this is the right Nusach, it might have been corrupted, but the Shaarei Tshuva quotes the Arizal, that the Arizal would say Ahavas Olam all week, during Shacharis, he would say Ahavas Olam, but at night, sorry, not at night, but on Shabbos, he would say Ahava Rabba. So that was the custom that the Shaarei Tshuva quotes from the Arizal. The Buchacher, the Eshel Avram, has another fascinating minhag, which is that every morning we say Ahava Rabba, Ahavas Olam. So therefore you say both, to be Mekayim, both the Shita of the Rabbanan, as well as Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar. But ultimately, the Ashkenazic practice is to begin the bracha with Ahava Rabba. Now, of course, we note that the Mishnah Brachos tells us there are two brachos you recite before Kriyat Shema, and yet we only have the bracha of Yotzei Orev Ori Choshech, begins with a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMe'oros. But when we get to Ahava Rabba, it doesn't begin with a bracha. It just says, Ahava Rabba Ahavtanu. And then it only ends with a bracha, HaBocher Be'amo Yisrael Bi'ahava. Why is that? Why doesn't the bracha begin with a baruch? So explains the Shulchan Aruch that this is a classic case of a bracha hasmucha lachaverta, of one bracha which is connected to another one, and when the bracha is connected to the previous bracha, you don't open. It doesn't require an opening. It sort of goes on the coattails of the previous bracha. Therefore, it doesn't open with a bracha. It only ends with a bracha. Interestingly, I saw Rav Avadia Yosef quotes a Shitas HaRashba. The Rashba actually writes that it is not a bracha smucha l'chaberta. This is the matbeya. This is the version of how it was instituted. It was set up to be one with a bracha, one without a bracha. Why? Because the truth is, we know, as we've seen earlier, that you are able to recite Ava Rabba and Yotzer HaMoros out of order. If you switch the order, it's fine, but it's not ma'akev. If that's the case, says the Rashba, there are times when you might end up reciting Ava Rabba first. Well, you would have to begin Ava Rabba with a baruch. So, therefore, he says it's not considered a classic bracha hasmucha l'chaverta. Rather, it's just simply, this is the way that it was instituted, to say it in this manner, with a bracha in the beginning and the end for the first bracha, and the second one opens without a bracha and ends with a bracha. Okay, but that's not the simple understanding. As the Shulchan Aruch said, it's considered a bracha hasmucha l'chaverta. Okay, the two more halachic points before we go into the next section, which is another issue, which is, are you allowed to answer amen at the end of the bracha of Ava Rabba? Now, we discussed this already the last couple of weeks. We had this discussion whether the two brachos, the opening brachos, are considered a birchas hamitzvah. If it's a birchas hamitzvah, you're making a bracha on a mitzvah. You don't answer amen. You're in the middle of about to shake your lulav and esrog, so you don't, al mitzvahs, al natilas lulav. You don't answer amen to someone's bracha and then you shake. No, you make your bracha and then you shake the lulav and esrog. So too, you make the bracha. You say shema. So if we say that this is a birchas hamitzvah, we're certainly not supposed to answer amen before we get to shema. If it's considered a birchas hashvach, well then, a birchas hashevach, then you can certainly answer amen. There's room to answer amen. So that's what we had this discussion before. The Shulchan Aruch says, just like by Yotzer HaMa'oros, we don't answer amen, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it clearly, but that is the case. You don't answer amen for the brach of Yotzer HaMa'oros, you don't answer amen for HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael B'Yahava, because they're both birchas hamitzvah. However, the Ashkenazic approach is that you can answer amen, because it's not considered a birchas hamitzvah, it's a birchas hashevach, and therefore you can answer amen, and it's not an issue. And that's how the Ramah paskins. The Mishnah Berurah says that we can be machmir, for the second bracha. They try to distinguish between the Yotzer HaMa'oros and Ava Rabba. Yotzer HaMa'oros, you're making a bracha about the luminaries, fine. But Ava, and that could be a birchas hashevach, about God's great abilities. But when we get to Ava Rabba, as we see, when we're focusing on Talmud Torah and Mashiach, getting ready to connect to Shema in a more clearly defined way, perhaps there we should view it as a quasi-birchas hamitzvah, and therefore, well, he said, he quotes the Shari Tshuva and the Eliyahu Rabba, that it's appropriate to finish the bracha together with the Shliach Tzibur. So if you finish the bracha together with the Shliach Tzibur, then you don't need to answer Amen. And therefore you avoid the problem of this suffix, whether it's a birchas hamitzvah or birchas hashvach, just say it together with the chazan. So that is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. But if in the event that you finish before the chazan finishes, you certainly are required to answer amen if you're Ashkenazi. If you're Sephardi, then under no circumstances should you be answering amen. Okay, and number four, the final halachic piece before we move on, is that what's unique about Ava Rabba is that it can be a substitute for Birchas HaTorah. Now, what I mean by a substitute for Birchas HaTorah is that if someone forgets to say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, then Ava Rabba can count as Birchas HaTorah. Why? Because at the end of Birchas HaTorah, we talk about HaBocher Be'amo Yisrael Be'ava. So therefore, we're essentially accepting the Torah and all of the mitzvos here, and therefore it is another may, as the Gemara says, Shekvar Nifter Be'ava Rabba. If you exempted yourself through Birchas HaTorah, you can do so with Ava Rabba, assuming you didn't say it earlier. The Shulchan Aruch does point out that what you need to do, though, if you forgot, to say Birchas HaTorah earlier, and you said Ahava Rabbah, and now Ahava Rabbah counts as your Birchas HaTorah, you're required to learn immediately after davening is finished. Because in order for, you made a bracha now on Birchas HaTorah, you have to learn Torah. So then the obvious question is, well, hold on a second, didn't you just make a 20-minute hefsek? And for those who go to a faster minyan, didn't you make a 7.5-minute hefsek before you got to the end? How can you do so? You should make another bracha. The answer is no, it's all considered, it's an elongated form of the mitzvah. That's how we would usually explain these things. So it's a longer bracha, but it's not considered a hefsek. I would think, by the way, that when you say Uva Letzion by the Kedusha de Sidra, it's learning Torah. You would think that saying Uva Letzion, you might be yotze your mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The truth is, though, it's from there's psukim from Nevi'im, presumably, but not from the Chumash, so maybe not, but I would surmise that as long as there's some form of learning, we're machmir, as we know from Birchas HaTorah, to have Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, or Brisos, but certainly it's some form of learning which you can be yotze with the mitzvah or the chiyuv of Birchas HaTorah through Ahava Rabbah. There is another discussion, a little more of a lumdish discussion, about having negative das. Is it possible that when you get to Ahava Rabbah, that you can have kavana not to be yotze the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah with Ahava Rabbah? In other words, I forgot to say Birchas HaTorah earlier, and now I get to Ahava Rabbah, and I say, oh shoot, I forgot about Birchas HaTorah, but I want to say Birchas HaTorah, I want to do it properly. I don't want to fulfill my mitzvah with Ahava Rabbah. So I have negative in das to fulfill my mitzvah in Ahava Rabbah, so that when davening is over, I can, or maybe during Chazar Sashat, I can recite Birchas HaTorah and do it regularly. Does that work? Is there such a thing? So the Prima Gadim, the Bir Halacha Kos, the Prima Gadim, that there's this concept that you can have negative das not to be yotze. We know in general there's an idea that you can have negative kavana, and therefore you're not yotze. However, says the Bir Halacha, says the Chavetz Chaim, it's a little strange, because to have negative das in general makes sense. But over here, in this case, you're saying the bracha. In the bracha, you're reciting Birchas HaTorah, essentially. You can't have negative kavana not to be yotze when you're saying the words. You can't say, it doesn't work. That's the Bir Halacha's idea. Therefore, he says, in a situation when you forgot Birchas HaTorah earlier, always have positive kavana to be yotze through the bracha, to be yotze Birchas HaTorah through Ahava Rabbah. But hopefully that's never the case. We're always getting the shul on time. We're never in a rush. We're not forgetting. And therefore, we don't have to worry about this halacha. Okay, so those are the four halachic issues that I wanted to raise before we move on to the next piece, which is some of the minhagim. There are a couple interesting minhagim as it applies, as it pertains to Ahava Rabbah. Perhaps the most well-known one is the idea of taking the tzitzis. Now, when we get to the part of the arba kanvas ha'arva havienu l'shalom me arba kanvas ha'aretz, at that point, the Be'er Heite says, we take the four tzitzios with our left hand and we place them on our heart. I don't usually see everyone placing them on their heart being so careful, but they take the four with their left hand. So what's the significance of taking with the left hand? The Be'er Heite doesn't say. And I can't tell you that I fully understand this, but the Arizal explains, this is all from the Arizal. The Arizal explains that, first of all, the four tzitzios represent the various kingdoms of the world, which is Eretz, Arba Kanfos Ha'aretz. So it represents Malchios of the world coming together, who will all be in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we have the left hand. He says the left hand is Gevura Shebismol, that their strength in the left, in the sense that all of the kingdoms, whatever this means, begins from the left. And therefore, we take the tzitzis in our left, and ultimately we bring it to our right hand. The Mishnah Berurah does point out, I didn't see this clearly in the Arizal, but the Mishnah Berurah adds that the tzitzis should be held between the pinky and the ring finger of your left hand. I'm sure there is a certain kavana behind it. I'm not exactly aware of the significance, but perhaps it's the farthest of the left. So if you look at your left hand, you put it all the way on the left. So that perhaps continues that theme or that theory that the left is where the kingdoms begin, and then it makes its way over all the way to the right hand. So it starts from the edge of the left hand. That's perhaps what it means. When we discuss some of the kavanos that we're supposed to have when we make the bracha of Avarap, if you look in the Piskei Tshuvos quotes all of these different svarim talking about the importance of this bracha in particular. There's so much going on, so much symbolism, so much meaning and significance in Av Rabbah that we have to take it very slowly. In fact, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef writes that not saying this bracha properly is your ma'akev the geula. That's how special and significant the bracha of Av Rabbah is. So what other kavanos should we have in this bracha? So the Rashash, Rav Shalom Sharabi, writes, who's a Talmud of the Arizal, or at least had all these minhagim from the Arizal, he says that we should have kavana when we get to the bracha of Av Rabbah. Before we begin, we should have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah saseh of Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Av Rabbah, so we're talking about how much love God had for us. Therefore, we should be and have in mind our mitzvah saseh to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another important piece in terms of some of the kavanos that take place here is towards the end of the tefillah, we have the sheish, a few of the sheish zechiros. We talk about the six remembrances. Here we have four of the sheish zechiros, and the other two are in Shema. What do I mean? Uvanu v'charta, we say, mikolam v'lashon v'kerav tanu, we say is an allusion to Matan Torah. Uvanu v'charta, you chose us to give the Torah. The kerav tanu l'shimcha hagadol, you brought us closer to the Har Sinai. The kerav tanu, you brought us to Har Sinai. So that's one of the sheish zechiros, Matan Torah and Har Sinai. Then l'shimcha hagadol sela be'emes, your great name. Your great name is a reference to Amalek, to remember what Amalek did to us. Why? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not complete when Amalek attacks, Amalek sullies God's name. Shimcha HaGadol, God's name is great when there is no Amalek. So that's how we remember Amalek. Just take the opposite approach. Lehodos Lecha, we always have to remember to use our words constructively, to give thanks to you, which is reminds us about Miriam's chait when she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. We remember that we're supposed to speak constructively and positively, not tear people down. Uliyachedcha bi'ahava, that we are uniting around you in love, which is not the message of the Egel. The Egel was when there wasn't love. We weren't united in love. We were united in contempt. So therefore, we have the Egel as number four. The last two, Yetzias Mitzrayim and in Shema Shabbos, are alluded to in the Shema. We'll get there next time. So those are some of the Minhagim / Kavanos. In terms of the significance, last couple of pieces before we get to the actual text. In terms of the kavanos, so first of all, Av Rabbah, we know, as we said before, the Mishnah in Brachos wrote that you have two brachos before Shema. One bracha is Yotzer Or, and the next one is Av Rabbah. What's the connection between Av Rabbah and Yotzer HaMa'oros, Yotzer Or? So the Rush Miluniel explains that the sun only gives light during the day. Yotzer HaMa'oros, we're focusing on the light of the world, the luminaries. The Torah, which is the focus of Av Rabbah, gives light both in the day and at night. So that's the connection, but that's the bridge from one to the next. As we say, HaShemayim, we say it in every Shabbos in part of the Tehillim, HaShemayim Mesaprim Kvod Keil, that the heavens are Mesaprim, the Kavod of God, which is the luminaries. And then as you continue, it says, Torah Hashem Tamima, Eidus Hashem Ne'emana Machkim Aspesi. The Eidus of Hashem is based on Torah Hashem Tamima, because that is everlasting. That's 24/7, whereas the Yotzer HaMa'oros is only in the daytime. Now, what's the connection between Av Rabbah and Kriya Shema? Well, the focus of Av Rabbah is on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, whereas the focus of Shema is on our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is how we connect the dots between the Birchos Kriya Shema to the Shema itself. So let's dive into the text a little bit. There's a lot to talk about, so we'll touch on a few things, and we'll kind of go from there. So, the main themes, there are two main themes of Avarabba. Number one is Torah. Number two is Mashiach. By all intents and by all accounts, this bracha of Avarabba was instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. If you remember a few ways back, we spoke about that bracha achas, that one bracha that's added on in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, I believe it was. And the question was, my bracha achas, what is this one bracha? And it was a machlokas, whether it was Yotzer or maybe it was Avarabba. So clearly, these two brachos go way back. So presumably to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. So we begin as follows. Obviously, the word Ahava is going to come up significantly a number of times since we're focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us and our love in turn for Him. So we begin. Ahava Rabba, by the way, before I say this, I'm just going to read the Ashkenazi version. The Sephardic version is fairly different. There are quite a number of changes in the text. So we're just going to use the Ashkenazic version. Sometimes when there are only a couple minor changes, I will add in the Sephardi text versus the Ashkenazic one. Here there's a little bit more, so I'm just going to stick with the Ashkenazic version. Ahava Rabba Ahavtanu, you have loved us greatly, Hashem Elokeinu. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have loved us, again. And therefore, and Chemla Gedola Visera Chamat Aleinu. And you've had so much compassion for us. So much love and so much compassion. So we can, what are we referring to anything specific in terms of this love and compassion? So the Vilna Gaon writes, we are. The Vilna Gaon says that the love you have shown for us, the great love, is referring to the fact that you gave us the Torah. The Chemla Gedola, the Yesera, the amazing compassion, the exceeding compassion, is referring to the Hakamas HaMishkan, the commandment to build the Mishkan. Even after the Chet HaEgel, you had so much compassion on us, Visera Chamalta Aleinu, that you allowed us to build the Mishkan. So the level of love we have for God is greater on the Chemla, that even after our Chataim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still gives us more opportunities. So that's pasuk number one. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Ba'avur avosenu shebatchu v'cha batalamedem chukei chayim, kein techanenu usalamedenu. That's pasuk two. Our Father, our King, because of our forefathers who placed their trust in you, their faith in you, and you taught them chukei chayim, you taught them the laws of life, which is a reference to the Torah, chukei chayim, so too, kein techanenu, find favor in us, usalamedenu, and teach us the Torah. So here we're invoking our forefathers and saying, we're not worthy. Now we'll see, by the way, that we mention the fact that we do have bitachon in a little bit. But initially we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not worthy. We don't have bitachon like our forefathers. But because our forefathers had bitachon in you and committed themselves to you, and you, because of that, you taught them the Torah, teach it to us too, please. Find favor in our eyes. We're not worthy, but do it anyways, not for us, but for our forefathers. Avinu, Av Harachaman, Hamarachim, Rachem Aleinu. It's a fascinating line. We mention Rachim three times. So we say, Avinu, our Father, Ha'av Harachaman, our merciful Father, Hamarachim, the God, the Father, who in the abstract is compassion. Then we ask specifically, Rachem Aleinu, have Rachmanus on us. Again, we're not worthy in our own right, but do it despite the fact that we're undeserving. V'sein bilibeinu lehavin ulahaskil. Place in our hearts the ability to havin, to understand, and le Haskil, to give us discernment. Now there is a dispute, which is a higher level? Is it Lahavin or Lahaskil? Which one is greater? Some say Lahavin is referring to Torah Shebichsav, Lahaskil is Torah Shebal Peh. I will mention that the Sephardic Nusach here, there's one time I'll mention it, it says V'sein b'libeinu bina Lahavinu Lahaskil. Give us understanding, give us this bracha of bina, Lehavinu lehaskil. as opposed to the way we read it. It's one long sentence. Same b'libenu, placed in our hearts, lihavin ulahaskil, and it's essentially a run-on sentence until we get to es kol divrei samlu torasecha bi'ahava. Anyhow, so place in our hearts, lihavin ulahaskil, the ability to understand, to discern. Those are higher levels. And then I think it seems like we drop a little bit. Then, at a minimum, I think this is how Rabbi Schwab understands it, at a minimum, lishmoa, at least, give us the ability to hear what you're saying. Lilmod, to learn it, ulalamed, and to teach it to others. Lishmor, the lasos, ulakayim, to safeguard, to do them, and fulfill them. Now the obvious question is, well, hold on a second. Lishmor, we understand. Lishmor, safeguard the mitzvos. Lasos means to fulfill the mitzvos. Well, what does ulakayim mean? Doesn't ulakayim also mean to fulfill the mitzvos? What are we adding? Lishmor, velasos, ulakayim. So as one of the commentaries points out, that ulakayim is based on, well, we're going to, I believe it's next week's parsha, in Kisavo. Aro rasher lo yakim es haTorah hazos. It means that we're talking about being an ambassador for the Torah. Be makayim it. Show it off to everyone. Be proud of what we have. Be that ambassador. That's what ulakayim. Give us the ability to be lishmor, velasos, ulakayim, es kol divrei, salmud torasecha, bi'ahava. Now what in the world are we asking? Talmud, salmud torasecha? Why don't we just ask for divrei torasecha? Why is it talmud, salmud torasecha? What is that all about? So and by the way, when we daven Mariv, for those who just daven Mariv a little bit, when we get to the bracha of Avas Olam, it says Venismach b'divrei sorasecha, not Venismach b'divrei salmud torasecha. Now, parenthetically, Sfardim say salmud torasecha, well, Talmud toratecha, if you're a Sfardi, but unless you're doubting Nusach Sfard, salmud torasecha at Shachris and at Musaf, but Ashkenazim at Shachris say Talmud Torasecha, and at Mariv just Torasecha. Anyhow, so what does Talmud Torasecha mean? Perhaps we're referring to Torah Shebal Peh. That's Talmud Torah, is the Talmudic part, the oral law. But more simply, I think Talmud Salmud Torasecha means the teachings, the Talmud, the teachings of the Torah, not Torah Shebal Chsav versus Torah Shebal Peh, but the overall, in the aggregate, the teachings of the Torah. And then we ask, so again, es kol divrei salmud torasecha bi'ahava, with love. In other words, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachmanas on us and give us the ability to have all these things to, with regards to your Torah, with love. In other words, that as much as you love us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ahava Rabba Ahav Tanu, give us the ability to give back. Talmud Torasecha bi'ava. Let us, allow us to show our love for you by fulfilling the Torah. But in order to fulfill it, we have to have the bracha, you have to have the compassion on us to enable us to understand it. So again, here you see the focus on Torah, and the study of Torah, and the acquisition of Torah. Then we continue. And here we have fascinating word choices. V'ha'er einenu v'sorasecha, v'dabek libenu b'mitzvosecha, v'yached livavenu li'ava u'li'ira eshemecha, v'lo nevosh li'olam voed. So first of all, so ha'er, dabek, and yached are interesting terms to describe some of the requests that we're making for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but without getting into details about breaking down those three words, I'll focus on the first two. V'ha'er einenu b'sorasecha. What's the connection? Enlighten us to your Torah. That seems to be connected to the pasuk in Tehillim about Torah or. Torah's light. Ha'er einenu b'sorasecha. Open our eyes to your Torah. Torah or. V'dabek libenu b'mitzvosecha. That we should love doing mitzvos. And that is, there. The Arizal brings down a nusach that flips it. V'ha'er einenu b'mitzvosecha v'dabek libenu b'sorasecha. That's not the correct approach. This one is a little more accurate based on the pasuk Torah or v'ha'er einenu b'sorasecha. V'yached livavenu. Now we ask to unite our livavenu, our hearts. Now it's interesting because we said before, dabek libenu. Now we're asking livavenu. So what exactly are we referring to? Libenu and now livavenu. It's the same hearts, or isn't it the same hearts? So here the commentaries point out, livavenu, both are shnei yitzarim, yitzar hara and the yitzar tov. Yached livavenu, unite our inclinations, our good and bad, le'ava uliyira es shemecha, to love and fear your name. Now, another quick comment that some of the commentaries point out is that we usually have yira before ava. Here we have le'ava uliyira es shemecha. Why is it reversed? So here, I saw one of the commentaries quotes the Noam Elimelech that says, you know, there are different levels of Yira. Yira, we always understand Yira to be the baseline. First, you have to fear God, and then love God. But there's actually a higher level of Yiras Shamayim, which is a fear that comes out of the love. So it's Yira Shebe Ahava, that is before Ahava Shebe Ahava. Yira Shebe Ahava is one of the highest levels of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're le'ahava, and yira means yira through ahava. That's the way the Noam Elimelech understands that phrase. Anyhow, v'lo nevosh le'olam vo'ed, and therefore, by doing that, if you show us, if you open our eyes to the Torah and the mitzvos, and to have yichud Hashem, lo nevosh le'olam vo'ed, we're never going to feel shame. Le'olam vo'ed, not in this world and not in the next world, because we're going to be fully committed to you, connected. We have the Torah. So here again, this whole focus up to this point was on the Torah. Now we transition as follows. Ki v'shem kachcha ha'gadol v'hanora batachnu. But now, since we have placed our trust and our faith in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, holy, great, and awesome God. Notice, by the way, as I mentioned earlier, before we ask God, because of our forefathers had bitachon in you, have mercy on us. We're not worthy. We don't deserve it. We didn't have such great bitachon. But now we mention, now we invoke it. No, we did. Because we have bitachon in you, nagila v'nismcha b'yeshua secha. Let's rejoice and be happy in your Yeshua, in your salvation. And what should our bitachon bring? How do we express or experience this salvation? How do we rejoice in it? Vahavienu l'shalom me'arba kanfos ha'aretz, that bring peace from all four corners of the world, and hence the four garments, the four corners of our talis, our four tzitzios, which refer to malchios, which refer to eretz, the four malchios of the world. V'solichenu komim miyus li'artzenu, and lead us to our land. Komemius, upright. We should be proud. We don't have to walk in with a krechs or saddened with our heads down. No, our heads held up high. Komemius li artzenu. Which is, by the way, where's that word come from? In the Parshas Bechukosai, the last words before the Tochacha begins, it says, Va'alich eschem komemius. That if you follow all of our ways, all of my ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will bring you into the land, komim miyus. So this is what we're asking for. Since we've had bitachon, nagila v'nismacha b'shuasecha, v'solichenu komim miyus li'artzenu. And by the way, we say this during a benching as well. Hu yo lichenu komim miyus li'artzenu. I will add on that Rav Avadya Yosef mentions a very interesting custom that for people who live in Eretz Yisrael, they don't say v'solichenu komemius li'artzenu. They don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us upright to our land, because they're in the land already. Rather, they should say v'solichenu komemius bi'artzenu. Keep us upright in our land, which is more factually correct. If the focus is on the individual, well, I'm in Israel. It's bi'artzenu. However, Rav Avadya points out that The minhag is to say li'artzenu, because the focus is not on the individual, the focus is on Klal Yisrael as a whole. It's all li'artzenu. Just like in Musaf, we say, Sheta'alenu b'simcha li'artzenu. V'havienu el-shem elokeinu l'tzion ircha b'rina v'li Yerushalayim b'es mikdashcha b'simchas olam. Again, the focus is, when we say v'havienu l'tzion, for those who are bitzion, we don't change it, because the focus is on all of Klal Yisrael. And then the last two psukim, Ki'el poel Yeshuos ata, Uvano v'charto mikulam v'lashon, v'keraftanu l'shimbrach ha'gadol sela be'emes l'hodos l'cha l'yachedcha bi'ava. So, ki'el poel Yeshuos ata. You are poel Yeshuos. You are someone who brings salvation. Again, we're focusing on Mashiach here. Ki'el poel Yeshuos ata. Now, don't forget, by the first bracha of Yotzer HaMa'oros, we said, Kihu levado poel gevuros ose chadashos bal nochamo zuret tzedakos. So there, we said he was poel gevuros. Now he's poel Yeshuos. What's the difference? Well, in the first bracha, it's more of a materialistic side, a physical side. He's poel gevuros. Here it's the spiritual aspect, poel Yeshuos. Kiel poel Yeshuos ata, uvanu vacharta, and he chose us, again, reference to Mamad Har Sinai, mikol am belashon, from every other nation and tongue. What do you mean, nation and tongue? Well, again, you could have people who live in amongst a nation but speak a different language. Your tongue is different, so it's called am belashon. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you chose us from anybody. V'kiraftanu l'shimcha ha'gadol sela b'emes, and you brought us closer to you in truth. What, again? This is Mamad Har Sinai, Matan Torah. You brought us to Har Sinai in truth. Moshe emes v'saraso emes. L'hodos l'cha u'liyachedcha bi'ava, to give thanks to you and to unite you in love. Again, as we said before, the references to the Egel and to Miriam. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael B'Ava, who has lovingly chosen his people, Am Yisrael. The one thing I just wanted to point out is the fact that the Pasuk over here, the sentence really begins with Ki'el Poel Yeshuos Ata. Why am I saying this? There's a, you know, the old art scroll RCA sitter and the new RCA sitter, they place the periods in different places. They take Ki'el Poel Yeshuos Ata is the beginning of a sentence, but it's a shorter sentence. It ends at V'keraftanu. Ki'el Poel Yeshuos Ata. You are a poel Yeshuos, uvanu v'charta mikol am belashon, and you have chosen us among every other nation. And now we have a new pasuk which says, v'keraftanu l'shimcha ha'gadol sela b'emes, and you brought us closer to your great name. Now, we know that, at least in the Hebrew language, a pasuk can begin with a vav, but here it seems to be a continuation of the pasuk. Ki'el poel Yeshuos ata uvona v'charta mikol am v'lashon v'kiravtan l'shimcha ha'gadol. It's all one long pasuk. So in the old art scroll, it has two psukim here. In the new RCA edition, it's one long pasuk from Ki'el until Baruch. Now the reason why that's somewhat important is the question is, if you're the Shliach Tzibor, where is the most appropriate place to begin the pronouncement or to begin reading the bracha out loud? If you start in the middle of a sentence, it seems a little strange. Usually we start at the end of a sentence and you read from the beginning to the end. So here in the old art scroll RCA sitter, which is now what most of us do, is we begin from V'keraftanu l'shimcha ha'gadol sela b'ames. But the truth is, it's a little more accurate, and that's the RCA sitter puts the little triangle by Ki'el Poel Yeshuos Ata, that's where we should begin as the Chazan. And that, I think, technically is more correct. Look, it's the new version, so the new version has to be right. But that's there. So again, when we get to Ava Rabba, the focus is on Talmud Torah, the focus is on Yeshua, on salvation, on Mashiach, Yichud Hashem, uniting us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be'ava, with love. And if we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with love, then we can be, hopefully, be zoche to the Torah, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. And as we then begin the Shema, we can say with confidence, the Shema Yisrael, because when you have a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, it's very difficult and challenging to be Mekabel Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim and Ol Mitzvos without having an Ava and a Yira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So next time we'll get to Shema, and Shema will take us a little while to go through all of the different kavanos and the paragraphs. So hang in there, and as we continue our journey through the Siddur, have a wonderful night, and I will see you next time.